title of this message tonight. The first one is, you're a power mouth. How about that? You are a power mouth. You have a mountain-moving, debt-canceling, circumstances-changing, money-making mouth. Your mouth sends angels to work. Your mouth brings the promises of God to you. Faith, your faith is released by the words of your mouth. God said to Reinhard Bonnke, my words in your mouth are as powerful as my words in my mouth. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. I've got a New American Standard up here, so I'm going to see if I can just quote this. Have faith in God. We can put it this way. Have the God kind of faith when we study that out. And then Jesus goes on to tell us what the God kind of faith is. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that that which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. So we can say it this way. It's as simple as this. What that basically is saying is you get what you say. And there can be people that can argue from now to eternity about that. But this is Scripture. So if they're arguing with it, they're not arguing with the Word of Faith people. They're arguing with Jesus. They're arguing with the Word. Because I didn't, it's really good, but I didn't write it. I didn't think of it. I didn't create the system. I'm just following God's Word. And I'm going to teach God's Word. And there it is. Going to say in black and white, but it's actually in red. That's the word of Jesus. That was Jesus teaching his disciples about faith. When they said they wanted more faith, they realized they needed more faith. What Jesus said to them was, yeah, sure, you need more faith. Here's how you get more faith. What he said to them was basically speak and believe. But three times we see reference to speaking, three times more than believing, which means it's more important for us to get the idea of how important it is what we speak, even than what we believe. Yet, when we speak, we're activating our faith, because faith is activated by our words. But tonight, our emphasis is going to be more the power of your words and faith. Now, we read that verse. Now, listen to this. Now, maybe some of you have gotten to this in your reading already, but if you haven't, just hear me in this. Charles Capps said this, and he said that God said it to him. And this is what he said, God said, I told my people they could have what they say, but they are saying what they have. I'm going to say that again. I told my people they could have what they say, but they are saying what they have. So do you hear what he's saying in that? What God was revealing to Charles Capps, and that's the one that wrote the book that you're reading, The Tongue, a Creative Force. I told my people they could have what they say, but they're saying what they have. What does that mean? God is basically saying that his children were walking by the sight realm or the sense realm instead of by faith. And they were speaking out what they were seeing in the sense realm, what was seeming to be a reality, what they could see, what they could feel, what they could touch, what they possessed. And they were saying that was it. That's what they had. Whereas God was saying, you confess it, you say it, and then it'll be yours. Instead of just talking about what you currently have, he's saying, you start talking about you calling it into being, and that's what I want you to have. You see, there's a difference in saying what you can see or saying what you see by faith. By faith. We're to walk by faith, not by the sight realm or the sense realm. We're to walk by faith. We are to fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Now, one of the ways we fight the good fight of faith is with our words. You are, again, a power mouth. God put power in your words. He's put power in your mouth. Your mouth, not just the person next to you, but yours. You're special. You're unique. You are a child of God. And especially if you've got a prophetic anointing, there's an increase on when you speak. Ooh, and so when there's an increase on when you speak, God will hold you to a greater accountability. But know that there's an increase, that when you speak, you'll call things into being. You'll say, this is the way it'll go. This is the way it is. And you'll watch it line up with your words, because that's part of the gifting that God's put in that prophetic gift. There's a greater anointing on your words, part of the gift. But we all have an anointing on our words. We all have an anointing in speaking things out. And so it's very important for us to learn. This class is going to be very important for you to get this stuff, for you to get the understanding about the power of your words. So, you're a power mouth. Well, praise the Lord, you're a power mouth.
Amen.
You're a power mouth. There's power in that mouth of yours. Power! Power mouth! Power mouth. When Pastor Brad and I were, well, actually, just thinking about starting this church, there was a couple that called us and said, when are you going to start a church? And they were the first couple that hooked up with us and helped start plant this church. Oh, a marvelous couple. Led by the Spirit of God, obviously, because we hadn't told them we were going to start a church. But they knew by the Spirit that we were, and we did. And they were considering moving and decided not to move and felt led to hook up with us. And so they really helped get everything started. Anyway, this couple, often Brad has talked about her in the workplace when everyone around her was getting sick, and she didn't. Everybody around her was saying that they were coming down with the flu. Everybody in the office was getting sick. And she said, I'm the picture of health. She said, I'm the picture of health. Maybe you've heard him tell this story. I'm the picture of health. Everybody around her is coughing, wheezing. A lot of them had gone home early. And boy, little later in the day, it was winter, and little later in the day, she started not to feel very good. But she would never say that with her mouth. She never said how she was feeling. She sat behind her desk, and she quoted scripture. Every time she had a break, every time she had some free time, some free thought time, she would just claim the word. By his stripes I'm healed. Himself bore my infirmities, carried away my diseases. The word of God says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Therefore, devil, you must flee from me. Sickness cannot attach itself to my body, because I am obedient. I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. Sickness can't attach to me in Jesus' name. I'm healed. I'm the picture of health. And she said she had to cling to that all day long. But by the end of the day, she was fine. Even though it tried to come on her, she never gave it permission with her words. Sometimes people don't realize this, but as soon as they say they don't feel good or they're feeling sick, they start to open the door. It's like giving the devil an invitation. Because sickness doesn't come from God, it's from the devil. So what she was doing was keeping the door closed and keeping her confession going. That's just one story about this couple. The story I was going to tell you is before our church, two churches before our church, they were in another church that taught that this the Bay Area was just too expensive to be able to afford a home here. So they had been in this church for years and years, and they'd been renting a house in Palo Alto. Great house, wonderful house, but it seemed that every year their landlord was raising the rent. And it got to the point where that landlord was substantially raising it, where it was so high that they thought at this point they're going to move. It was so high. They weren't thrilled with that situation, but they'd been in a church where the pastor was teaching, might as well forget it. There's no hope. And then they came to Victory. And we started teaching, well, with God, all things are possible. This is what the Word says. It's not just what Brad and Gigi are saying. It's what does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? What does God say? It says, with God, all things are possible. And so they started changing their thinking. And then they started changing their speaking. And as they started changing the way they were speaking, they no longer saw it as being impossible. And see, I think they took their eyes off of the Bay Area dollar signs and put their eyes on their great big God. Just like Peter walking on the water, as long as his eyes were on Jesus, how big and great and powerful, and our wonderful God, how He can do anything, how His resources are unlimited. As long as your eyes are on Him, everything else seems small. So you take your eyes off of Him, you put them on the circumstances like Peter put them on the waves, then things change. You keep your eyes on the Bay Area dollar signs, it'll affect your faith. Now, I'm not saying deny it, but I'm saying take it into account, but don't focus on it. Don't keep your eyes there. Okay, you've got to keep your eyes on God. Keep your eyes on the Word. And then say what the Word says. So, within a couple years, it did take them a few years. But that was to totally change their thinking of this being impossible. It's hopeless. Give it up. To know with God it's possible. And He wants to meet your needs. And if it's the desire of your heart, hey, a roof over your head is not asking for too much. So, guess what? They bought a fabulous house. Nothing seemed to really change that much in terms of their financial situation, but their thinking changed. And then their action changed. And then they went and got And then they started looking, and they bought a gorgeous, they had always wanted an Eichler. He loves Eichlers. And so they got an Eichler with a swimming pool. It's like 4 bedrooms. And it's in San Jose. So they moved out of the area, but they're blessed. It's still in the Bay Area. Blessed. What did they do? They took the word and applied it. Took the word and they spoke it, and they spoke it, and they spoke it. And they got it. They got it because they kept speaking it out. So when you say you can't, you can't. Even if the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, if that's what the Word says, and that's truth, but you say you can't, that becomes your truth, even though that doesn't have to be your reality. You see what I'm saying in that? In other words, the real truth is that you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. But if you choose to cling to the lie that says, I can't, then that will become your reality, even though it's not the truth. You see what I'm saying in that? The Word of God is true. The Word of God will stand before every man's experience. The Bible says that the Word will not pass away, that the flower fades, the grass fades, but the Word of our Lord stands forever. No matter what somebody's experiences are, the Word of God stands. Now, listen, this is the key. Your faith will never rise above your words. That's the key, to just get a hold of that. That's like a nugget. Your faith will never rise above your words. And some people will say confession. Your faith will never rise above your confession. But confession is like, well, how do we use that? Yet words are something we speak every day, and we don't necessarily think of what we're saying as being a confession. But if you say words, people are very aware of the words that are coming out of their mouth. Your faith keeps pace with your words. Or we can turn that around. Your words keep pace with your faith. Now, how does the good fight of faith come in? We looked at that scripture a little bit. The good fight of faith comes in this way. If somebody's body is feeling symptoms of sickness, but the Word of God says, by His stripes ye were healed. The truth is that you were healed. So the fight of faith is for you to cling to the truth of the Word of God over what your body is feeling. I'm not saying say I'm not sick. That would be a lie. But to say I'm healed is not a lie, because what you're saying is you're clinging to a higher truth. That's God's Word. And all of this, the sense realm, has got to come up and line up with the written Word of God. The written Word of God says, by His stripes I was healed. Himself bore my infirmities and carried away my diseases. That's the Word of God. I am the Lord that healeth thee. I will take sickness out of your midst. That's His Word. That's His Word. That Word stands. That Word is true. So then the fight of faith is to cling to that no matter how you feel and confess that Word. Confess the Scripture over your body till your body lines up and comes in line with the Word. That's the fight of faith. The fight of faith is when you go to pay bills and it doesn't seem like there's any more money, but there are more bills still due, and you say, my God does supply all my needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. That's the fight of faith. Instead of saying, oh no, what am I going to do? There isn't enough money. One is a negative confession, and one is clinging to the Word. Even though what you may see is there's not enough money, that may be what's real in the sense realm, but that's not what the Word of God says for you. So you've got to get your natural eyes, your natural thinking, to let go of circumstances and cling by faith to the Word of God. That's the fight of faith. Let's read that definition of faith out of the Amplified. You want to just hand it to me and I'll read it? I like reading it out of Amplified because it's just so clear. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed. That's ownership. Title deed is ownership of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see. Faith is believing that you've got the ownership before you see it. You get that? It's believing you've got that title deed even though you're still making payments on the car. It's believing you own it and the conviction of their reality. Now get this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Faith will take it and believe God even though it's not revealed to what you and I can see. You and I can feel. You and I can put in a bank account at the moment. It's not what you and I can cash. But faith will believe and receive it as being real fact, even though it's not revealed to us in this natural realm. So let me now read it just once without interrupting. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Hebrews 11:1 in the Amplified. So, faith believes the Word of God over what you see. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. That supports that scripture that we just read. In other words, go by what God says is true. Go by the Word of God. Cling to the Word of God. Now, I want to kind of stretch us a little bit. Hebrews 4:14, and we're tying this words and faith. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. What that means is let us hold fast to saying the same thing. Hold fast to saying the same thing. Hold fast to saying the same thing that Jesus says. Hold fast to saying the same thing that the Word says. And we're to stay consistent in that without wavering. If we look in James, it talks about asking and wavering. We're not to waver. We're to stay consistent in our confession, consistent with our words. This is something that we teach and we train ourselves. Remember one of those first scriptures we read? The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth. So even if you think, well, gee, there's areas I really need to work on this. Well, yeah, but there probably always will be. We're growing. We're learning. We're maturing. And this is an area that really, if you're not catching yourself saying something and making adjustments, then you're probably not growing the way that you should be growing. That's just part of the spiritual process when you start to really learn and catch yourself with words you're saying. Are they words of faith, which lines up with Scripture, which lines up with like Joshua and Caleb? Or are they words of unbelief that line up with the 10 spies that came back with the bad report, evil or unbelieving report? So which side? Are you on the faith side, the God side, or the unbelief side? And we want to be on the God side. We want to be on the God side, which means we want to believe God and say what God says. Say what His Word says. Now, let's take this and apply this. Go ahead and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28, Old Testament. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it tells us both the blessings and the curses for either obeying or disobeying the law. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to tell you this. One of the fabulous things about Jesus is that He redeemed us from the curse of the law. So that means when you go through this and you think, oh, well, I could be doing a little better here and I could be doing a little better there, then that's where Jesus covers you, by His blood. Because we all fall short of the glory of God. That's what the Scripture says. Which means we've all sinned. We've all broken the law. Now we've got a greater lie anyway, which is walk in love, and we've probably broken that more than we even have realized, right? So we've got a law that we're to keep. But Jesus, in Galatians, it says that Jesus was made the curse so that the blessings of Abraham could come upon us. What does that mean? It means anything that where you have fallen short of the glory of God, that's been put on Jesus. Jesus took that for you so that you could have the promises that are written in His Word as one that kept the law, because you keep it by grace through Jesus Christ, because you've been made righteous. Now, that doesn't mean you're free to sin. You are free, but God doesn't want us to choose sin. But it means that Jesus Christ bridges the gap for you. It means that the blood of Jesus covers you. Now, what I want us to see in Deuteronomy, we're going to touch a couple areas here, but Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 11, it says, "And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity." And in here, in the first part of Deuteronomy, from verse 1 to 14, it talks about the blessings. Being blessed coming in and going out. Your barns are blessed. Your produce is blessed. Your offspring are blessed. Everything you put your hand to is blessed. These are blessings, that the blessings come upon you and overtake you. Well, that's good. Now, 11, let's go back to that. "And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity." That's a good thing. Now, I want to look at this, Deuteronomy 28:12, and this I think is going to stretch us. Near the end of 12, it says that He will bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Now, that has just stirred me up lately, because cars are paid for, but my house isn't, and so we have a loan on that. And so I'm realizing, and looking at what the Copelands teach, they teach pay cash. Well, that's a good way to go. And I've been thinking, well, if this is one of the blessings, is that you lend to many and you do not borrow, that's a blessing. If we want that blessing, we need to go after it. We need to start speaking about it and start confessing it. So Pastor Brad and I now are confessing that we're debt-free, everything, totally debt-free. It means every credit card is paid off. We live debt-free. And that's what I'm saying. We live debt-free. We live debt-free. Now, we can say we prosper, but, okay, to what extent? What is prosperity? Well, I think prosperity should be that we have the money to pay for what we need to use. Now, is it okay to have a loan? Yeah, but I think that we're seeing there's an even better way. And I know that the Copelands, you know the Copeland ministry, right? The first house they bought, they paid for all cash. And they were pastors. They had some guest minister come in and took up, and either one or two offerings took up enough money that they'd been believing God for a house, and they paid for the house with all cash. Now, well, aren't we glad that they've used their faith that way? Because that wasn't just for them, even though the house was a blessing to them. Look at the ministry they're running. I mean, it is this huge, huge amounts of money to be running on TV the way they run on TV. I'll thank God they're believing God the way they are. I thank God that they're paying for it as they go, that they're not running themselves into huge debt. And so there are some blessings here for us to glean from and kind of go, okay, God, now listen, if you start out and you can get together the down payment and you want to start and you want to take out a loan, that's fine. There's no condemnation in that. But I think we're seeing that there's an even better way. There's an even better way. So let's believe and confess. Let's go for it. Now, we don't need to know how it's going to happen. We just need to be speaking it. I live debt-free. I live debt-free. Now, you know that somebody gave Pastor Brad and I a 10-unit apartment complex, right? I've shared that story. We took care of it. We fixed it up and had help and then sold that and bought two houses. I didn't know how it was going to come, but it came. Well, now I'm going to believe God that thing's going to be paid for. So let's do that. So if that's a little bit of a stretch and a tug on your faith, well, go ahead and stretch. Be stretched. Stretch yourself. Go ahead. Go ahead. Now, that's not like, oh, where am I going to get all the money now? How am I going to do that? No pressure. Just start speaking. Just start speaking. Father, I thank you that I live debt-free. Thank you that everything is paid for. Everything is paid for. Now, my son, well, I'm going to show you on a small scale of how this can work also. Last Sunday after church, my son got this, I think it's called bearded dragon. It's a lizard. Okay. And it needs crickets or mealworms. And so I told him the deal was he had to have the money to buy it and then feed it. And so it needed crickets. Sunday, we hung out, and then it was time for us to leave church. And we were going to go to the pet store up here. Crickets are less up here than the pet store down near our house. And so we were going to go to the pet store and buy all these crickets. And so I say, Brad, you know, this is important how we start this. This is our first purchase of these crickets. And if we cave in and we start buying them, then we're looking at buying them. And we've got to keep our word in this. So Brad says to Chad, you have your wallet with you? Oh, no, Dad. How are you going to pay for the crickets? Well, Mom said she'd take me. And I said, yes, I said I would take you. I did not say I would pay for them. Oh, well, I don't have any money. Because he'd spent it, right? I don't have any money. Like, well, you'll need to do something. So he prayed. And we didn't. Now, what we have done is we've cash advanced him in the past. You know, when he wants something at the pet store or whatever. Oh, okay, can I just, I just need $5 more, Mom. If you just give me $5 more, then I'll wash a car when I get home. And so we were allowing him to do this. Okay, I'd give in, I'd do it, right? Sometimes I just buy him things. But right now, he's at an age where I really want to teach him how to use his own faith, and I want to teach him to value things and to value money. I think these are good lessons also. So I'm teaching him right now to work for things and to pray and to believe God. So what I realized is we were teaching him how to use credit. He just would come to me or come to Brad, and we'd front him the money. Or teaching him how to live on credit. And I thought, this is not what I don't want to teach him this. I don't want to teach him to live on credit because I don't want him to grow up and live on credit. And so this was our first standing our ground of you have the money, you can buy it. If you don't have the money, you can't buy it. You'll have to pray. You'll have to go work or something. Do you know that that young man, he's 11, so we went home. We did not go to the pet store. We went home. Within 2 hours, he had $70, my 11-year-old. Now, just take that and magnify that to an adult. One of our neighbors asked him to feed their cat and take care of their cat for a week and handed him $60. She'd gotten back that day. He'd already done the work for the week, but he committed to doing it without knowing he'd get anything. Money was never talked about. He would have done it for free. She handed him $60. Then he did some chores around the house, which we paid him a little bit for, and one of them was to go rake the leaves in the front yard. So while he's out raking the leaves in the front yard, another neighbor walks by, sees him working, and says, "Chad, would you come help me move some boxes at my house?" Because of her back, she didn't want to move boxes. So he said, "Sure." So then he went and helped her and got another $5. Again, no money was talked about. He was just willing to go help. Literally, within 2 hours, he had $70. I'm saying that to you because that young man prayed, and boy, did it seem to come easily to him. He just believed God. So it wasn't going to be a problem. And for him, it wasn't a problem. Now, if we take that and we apply that to us, which is what I want us to do, that means I'd like to see all of us not put any money on our credit cards this Christmas season. How about that? Where I'd like to see us both live within our means and be a blessing and believe God for increase. So what that means is if you have the cash, you can buy it. If you don't have the cash, you don't buy it. Prosperity does not mean go run up 10 grand on your credit card or go buy a house where you can't afford the payments. That's not prosperity. Prosperity is living within your means, but it's believing God to have more than enough to be a blessing to others. Prosperity is means that you're the lender, not the borrower. If you're borrowing, that's not prosperity. And I think in our society, we've gotten a little deceived by thinking, I'll just put down the credit card, just put down the credit card. And then at the end of the month, somebody's got a bill that's bigger than what they can pay off. Well, that's not prosperity. So we've got to get back to some of the basics. If you have the money, you can buy the item. If you don't have the money, don't buy the item. That's not to limit your faith. That's not to put you in bondage. But that's to get you to live within a reasonable budget, within your means, while at the same time claiming prosperity and increase. Okay, do you see the balance there? So I think that these are good goals to go after. And the same, if you want a house and you don't have one, start confessing that you have one. Yes. If you don't have one and you want one, start confessing that you have one. And if you want to really go for it, call it paid for. And if you have one and it's not all the way paid for, call it paid for. It's paid for. I live debt-free. I am blessed to be a blessing. Now, I'm going to go a little bit more. Now, what if you're thinking to yourself, oh, boy, I really wanted to give like $1,000 to missions. I've really been believing to just get enough money to give to missions. Now I have to, like, believe to kind of get my house paid off or pay off a car. Now what? Well, what I want to say is that's small thinking. Don't think so small. What I want to do is get you out of the box of your natural thinking. You're thinking about your resources. You're thinking about what you can do. And I want to stretch you to get you away from what you can do and get you into the realm of what God can do for you. See, God can give you the $1,000 to give to missions every month the way you want to, and He can pay off your house. God can pay off your car and give you money to go overseas and preach the gospel. He can do all of it. You don't have to limit Him. What you need to do is get your eyes off of your own salary, your own checkbook and bank account, and get them on to Jesus. Get them on to the Word, and get the Word coming out of your mouth. Remember what we talked about, Joshua 1:8? This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, and observe to do all that is written therein. Then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So what do we see there? When it says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, it means don't ever let it stop coming out. What you want to be saying with the words of your mouth is what God says. I am blessed to be a blessing. I am prosperous. The Lord's blessings have come upon me and overtaken me. My offspring are blessed. I'm blessed in the produce of my work, whatever work that shall be. My work is blessed. My salary is blessed. I'm blessed. If you're blessed coming in and you're going out, then you're blessed coming in and going out. You want to say what the Word says about you. You want to speak that out and stay hooked up and lined up with God in faith and with your words. Because why? We know we like this one. He watches over His Word to perform it. You're giving God something to perform for you. It's like He comes running down there and says, I'm so glad you've gotten it. I've been waiting for you to understand this. I've been waiting for you to know how much I want to give you a house. Amen. You line up with me and you watch it come. Amen. I'm so glad. I'm so glad you get it. I'm so glad I wanted you to get it. Then you just say what I say. You say what my word says. Don't say anything else. Don't say anything. Don't oppose me. Don't oppose me. Don't get into unbelief. You just stay with my word. Stay with my word and I'll bring it to pass. Angels perform His word. God's wanting you to get it. He's been waiting for you to get it. And then say it and stay in agreement with Him so that He can bring it to pass for you. Angels, angels, you get that? You get that? Go perform that word. 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 There's things in your heart that you want to do, and God wants you to be able to do them. He wants you to be able to do the things. You've got precious things in your heart. Precious, but a lot of them are going to take money. Go ahead. Start bringing it in. Start bringing it in with the words of your mouth. There's a desire in your heart that's God imparted to you. You've got to bring that to pass by the words you speak out of your mouth. And He's going to start bringing money into you. Money, oh, gold. Yeah, glory to God. He's going to put you in charge of things. He's going to put you in charge of things. Yeah, because He can trust you with money. He can trust you with money. But now, just start drawing it in. And, it's like a magnet. It's like I see you being a magnet. Your words out of your mouth, you're going to function like a magnet. And money is going to be drawn to you so that the desires He put in your heart will be able to be brought to pass. So speak them out. Speak out these things. Speak out these things, these bold things. They're not even for you. The things that you have in your heart, they're not even for you. Go ahead and speak them out. And because they're not even for you, they're going to come even faster. Because they're not even for you, they're going to come even faster. Because these are things that God's birthed in you. These are desires God has. These are things God wants birthed. Ministries God wants birthed. Amen.